I said, I've thought about it and I've prayed about it, and it's still no. Being the pastor's wife that she is, I thought I'd better go home and think about it.
So I did.
And I felt quite guilty, actually, at saying no. Because I thought, I've been a Christian for so long, and to say no is wrong. And so what I'm going to do this afternoon, I'm going to give the testimony. I apologise for you ladies that already know it and have heard it hundreds of times before. But we come to church and we say hello to people, goodbye to people, are you all right? But do we really know them as we know our family? Do we really know them? And I thought, no, we don't. It's quite superficial, really. So I'm going to give you my, or endeavour to give my testimony, warts and all. So I do apologise, as I say, if you've heard it before. But when you've got a testimony, you can't change it. It is as it is.
Yeah.
So it's good to start in the beginning, isn't it? So once upon a time, there was a little girl. As you probably can gather by the accent, I don't come from here. Well, I do now. But I lived in Whitehaven. It's a coastal town on the west coast, in the Lake District. And I lived in a small village called Hensingham. And in those days, everybody knew everybody. Everybody was called grandma, everybody was called granddad, or uncle, or auntie. It was Auntie Smith and Uncle Brown and all the rest of it. Because that is what village life was all about. And sometimes I would go missing. And my mum or my dad would find me. I was in one of the neighbours' houses asleep. But in them days, that was village life. My parents had a shop in the middle of the village. My mum had a baby shop, sold wool, and my dad was the village hairdresser. So because of the business as well, I knew everybody. The nearest lake was 2 miles away. So when the meetings finished, as teenagers, we could go down to the lake, or we could go onto the pier. I had an idyllic childhood, and I thank God for that. I was an only child. My parents were born again Christians. They weren't Christians that went to church. They were Christians that knew Jesus. They knew Jesus as their saviour. And there's a big difference between going to church and knowing Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord. So that was my life. My parents had a strong faith. I went to school. I went to church. And I didn't do much else because church was so busy. And that was it. The first miracle that ever happened to me, now I'm only going on my parents telling me this because I was a baby at the time. I had what my mother named as impetigo. Now whether it was or not, I don't know, and I don't know how old it was, but I know I was a baby. But I had this horrible infection that was all around my neck. My mother said it was like raw liver. Anyway, took me to the doctors, and the doctor said, keep putting this ointment on, whatever it was, cream, lotion, whatever it was, and don't put it anywhere near any water. Well, by all accounts, it went on for quite a considerable time. Obviously, my parents were praying about it, but it didn't seem to get any better. My dad ran a bath and told my mother, take my clothes off and put me in this bath. Now, that was totally opposite what the doctor had said. No, 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 the doctor said, and you have to do what the doctor says when you've got a young child. No, 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 no. And my dad said, God just told me, run the bath. Now, my mum was a strong character, but she wouldn't go against my dad if she knew what God had said. So she ran the bath. And my dad put me in this bath and prayed over me. Brought me out of the bath, put me in a white cotton sheet and laid me in my cot. and my dad told my mother, let her sleep. When they went to pick me up, I'd slept. I was totally healed. That's the God that we serve. That is who God is. I was saved at the age of 7. And yeah, I'm a few years on now. But I can remember it very clearly. We came home from a prayer meeting. And we dropped my Sunday school teacher off. And she asked us to go in. And I sat on my Sunday school teacher's knee. And my dad said, what is it that you want? And I was crying. And I said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And he said, well, follow these words, what I'm going to say. Remember, I was only 7. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And that's exactly what he did. He came in that day and he stayed with me every step of the way. And he's never left me. Be it that faith was a childlike faith. But I knew going to church, being a good girl, wasn't going to get me into heaven. I would say to some of you here this afternoon who are Sunday school teachers, don't underestimate what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And you don't know what influence you're going to give to that child. Can I just have a drink? Because I'm driving. I was baptised in water, and then as a teenager, I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I left school, and I did nursing. Life was quite normal, really. It wasn't until we heard that there were some lads coming from a place called Rotherham. Now you can imagine what us girls thought of, these lads coming. But typical of Rotherham, they wanted a holiday on the cheap. You know what Yorkshire folk are like, don't you? They won't pay out where they can get out for now. Well, this is what they wanted. So they came to the Lake District, and as they came into church, they were getting worse. We would expect these tall, dark, handsome men to walk in, and they didn't. And we thought we'd better have gone so we'd got here than them. But then right at the end, Tony came in. He's always been late, making sure everybody was all right and sorting folk out. And Tony came in, and I was sat with my friend Liz. And I nudged Liz, and I said to her, I'm going to marry you. And she went, you talk silly. I said, yeah, no. She says, why, do you know him? No. What's he called? I don't know. Well, that's stupid. Fancy saying you're going to marry him. I said, well, yeah, I said, it was real, wasn't it? And I don't know what it was, but my parents being in eldership, they all came back for Sunday lunch. And over that week that these lads were there, we knew there was something different. And we knew that God had brought us together. Was it love at first sight? Or was it me just being stupid? I don't know. But we believe that God brought us together. That's 47 years ago. And I still love him, believe it or not. I would say to you teenagers, your parents, pray hard for your children. Pray hard for what partner you're going to marry.
Yeah.
You might feel young at the time. You might be praying for your children that are very young. But but we believe you pray for them from birth, right through, that they will marry the right partner. And so we were married 2 years later. Now, I thought he was from Rochdale. I'd never heard of Rotherham. And I used to come down for my holidays, and I used to go back and say, oh, it is a big place. Oh, I'm scared. Do you know, in Rotherham on the High Street, there was a shop, and it even had stairs that moved. Real stairs, you could get on them. And they just took you up to the top. And when I used to go back home and tell people, you've never seen anything like it. These stairs actually move. And you know, there's yellow things by the roadside. And if you go to them, the traffic stops for you to get across the road. Wow. Now this was a better place than London, I can tell you. As I said, 2 years down the line, we're going to get married. You can picture it, I live in this small village where everybody knew everybody. So, as I'm leaving the house on the main street, the traffic all stopped, believe it or not. When I say traffic, with a few tractors in between. There was a bus, actually. And I knew everybody was outside, and I knew everybody was waiting for me. And Dad, being my dad, said, you look a lovely lass. You really do, you look lovely. Well, just pray. Well, we can't pray now. They're all waiting. Hold on a minute, lass. Hold on a minute. He says, we'll pray. And Dad prayed. He says, I want to give you this scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Yeah. Tony and I have tried to remember that all through our married life. I came to Rotherham and I found it very difficult. Found it very difficult to settle from, as you can picture, where I've come from, that knew everybody, to a place that didn't know anybody. But in time I settled. And in time Andrew was born, the joy of our life. And I've just been, this morning I've been talking to a lady about a lady that used to come to our church called Mrs. Milburn. Sometimes we fail in church life. We don't do anything for God. We're inadequate. This lady, Mrs. Milburn, was quite elderly. She used to sit on the back row. She kept herself to herself, but she was what we would call a prayer warrior. And if you needed anybody to pray for you, go to Mrs. Milburn. You could guarantee Mrs. Milburn would pray for you. And she had a keen interest in everybody, everything. And us youngsters, growing up, she would ask questions, what boyfriend we've got, what girlfriend we've got, where we were going to go, what we were going to do. Not in a nosy way, but in a motherly, kind way. I went into labour with Andrew at 2 o'clock in the morning. Andrew was born at 12 minutes past six. This was before we had phones in the village. When Tony told my parents that Andrew had been born, my mum went over round the corner to where Mrs. Milburn lived. And she saw my mum coming, and she opened the door. And she said to my mum, for unto us a son is born. For unto us, a son is given. And my mum looked and she went, how do you know? She says, God wakened me up at 2 o'clock this morning and told me to pray. She said, I had no idea what I was praying about, but God told me, Ruth. She finished praying at 6 o'clock and Andrew was born at 12 minutes past. Is that our God? We didn't know till afterwards, but one of the nurses said, I don't know what's happened, but your baby shouldn't be here today. He was a healthy 8 pound 11 baby and just wasn't breathing. That is good. Three and a half years later, we had our daughter Rachel. Now both married, and we have five amazing grandchildren, aged from 4 to 20. And the four-year-old is the masterpiece, I can tell you. The others have been fine, but the last one will go. Sorry about this. We were in eldership in them days, and life was good. The children were growing up, they were teenagers. Tony was a deputy head, and I worked at Newman School. I said to Tony one day, nothing ever happens to us. Nothing good, and nothing bad. We'd just gone through several years of, well, a lot of years, and life was just ordinary. How wrong I was. You know, sometimes God takes us at our word. It was October, and Tony's dad had just died. His mum had died some 20 years earlier. We were cleaning and emptying the house, and I got a headache. I do get headaches, I suffer from headaches. But this headache just wouldn't go away, it was just so persistent, and I was swallowing tablets as if there was no tomorrow. We called the elders to pray. We called the doctor. The doctor was giving us different medication and all sorts of things, and it still wasn't going. On the fourth day, he told Tony to go to the chemist and pick this injection up. He told Tony to give him this injection. He said, if it doesn't go in 20 minutes, you need to call an ambulance. It didn't go. We called the ambulance. There was an accident on the motorway, and the ambulance just didn't come. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And Tony phoned them up and said, could you take me to hospital in the car? No, they wouldn't allow that. It had to be an ambulance. It took 2 hours before an ambulance came. It was diagnosed that I got meningitis. If any one of you know anything about meningitis, it needs instant attention. It was in the newspaper, I've got newspaper cuttings about it all. You have to work quickly. It was 4 days before I went into hospital. I lost no limbs. I have both my arms and I have both my legs. Is that not God? We have an amazing God.
Yeah.
It left me with cerebral fluid coming down my nostrils. By this time, Dad was dying of cancer. I went into Hallamshire Hospital and told I was going to be in high dependency for about a week. And I'd be in hospital for 2 to 3 weeks. The church prayed all over the country. The Sunday morning service was quite amazing. As I went into hospital Sunday afternoon, as I was first on the list on Monday morning, they cut me from here across my head, brought my face forward. I would have been better looking than this, you see, the antebrain. And they patched the hole up in my head. Remembering I was going to be in high dependency for a week. The operation finished Monday evening. They put me in the main ward on the Tuesday. I came home on Thursday. Is that God?
Yeah.
We have an amazing God. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that sometimes we take for granted. This is the God that sometimes we think he's just on the prayer line, but we don't think about him any other part of our lives. This is the God we serve. I was desperate to see Dad. And God allowed me against all odds to travel 200 miles. I got Dad out of hospital. And I was with him for 2 weeks before God called him home. Is that God's timing? Mum came to live with us. And sadly, the last years were very demanding, and she had dementia. But I thank God she never lost her faith. Looking back, I've shared just a few of my valleys and just a few of my mountaintop experiences. Have you ever asked God, where are you in this? Why are you not answering? Why have I prayed for so many years and I still don't have an answer? I still ask those questions. I ask those questions many, many times. But all I can do is trust in Jesus. I want to read this song to you that's blessed me time and time and time again. In fact, Tony's had to reprint it out. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There's been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I thank God for the mountains. And I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. Yeah. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Can we pray? Father, I thank You this afternoon for every one of these ladies, everyone who is so special to You. Lord, I don't know their circumstances. I don't know their past and I don't know their tomorrows. But Lord, I thank You. They're known to You. Father, I pray this afternoon that You will encourage and You will bless each and every one of them. In Jesus' name.